I'll be reading 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles.
It is so good to see you this morning. We appreciate you being here and want to be a part of this worship. It is indeed a great thing that we're doing in our Bible classes, our adult Bible classes, studying the great book of Hebrews. And that passage from Timothy is a parallel to what we were studying this morning in chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews, where he's talking about the mediator that we have between man and God, and the necessity of having someone to stand between us and God, and the love that God had for us to provide such a mediator, Christ Jesus, his own Son. It reminds you very much of what he tells us in the chapter last week that we studied, in chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 14 and following. I invite you to open your Bibles there. We'll be looking at 4 and 5 today. Verse 14 and following. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. You think about that, and you think about what Paul told the people told Timothy when he was talking to us about this great need that we have, that God wants to save mankind. Back in Timothy's passage, we saw that he told us that it's good and acceptable before God in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men, verse 4, to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all and the testimony for which was born at the proper time. Now, I want you to think those two passages. Maybe you want to put your finger on the Bible and save that spot, because this is the key of what we're going to be looking at right now. When we see Jesus taking this job, appointed to the job, the Bible tells us, ordained to this job, the Bible tells us, selected for this job, the Bible tells us, to stand between us and God, we know that if he's going to do a good job of it, he's going to have to not only understand God, well, he was God, you know, and he's also going to have to understand us. And because he's the great high priest, the one who can do that very thing, he is able to understand us because he didn't just make us. That would have been something, wouldn't he? I know everything about him. I know about what DNA is all about. I know everything. I know how they were put together. I know what they can do. I know how high they can jump, how fast they can run. I made them. I know everything. You know, I know how many cells they have in their body. I know how many cells they have in their brain. I know everything about it because the Bible tells us in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, nothing was made without him. And everything that was made by him. So he created us, so he knows all about us. He could have said that he studied us carefully. He watched us. He observed us. He tested us. He talked to us, and he studied us carefully. But because he's the great high priest, he needed to do more than that. He became one of us. I mean, this is where my brain stops. I can understand him making us. I mean, that's what God would do, right? I can understand him having some interest in us. I mean, like a project or like a pet or like maybe even loves us. I've loved dogs before, you know, maybe like that. But to become one of us This is just way above my brain power. And yet that's what he tells us. The mediator, the perfect mediator, the only mediator between man and God is Christ Jesus, who the writer of Hebrews and Paul completely agree. The writer of Hebrews tells us he is the great high priest, the perfect mediator. Paul tells us that he became one of us. Well, John actually said the same thing. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, when John starts his gospel, he starts off telling us about God becoming flesh. He says in the first couple of verses, we've mentioned them a moment ago, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you drop down to verse 14, he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we beheld His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father. So this one that John called the Word, we call Jesus, this one who His very name, Emmanuel, means God with us, this one became a human being. So that when Paul writes about it, he will say the man Jesus Christ. Another time Paul writes to us and he says in the book of Philippians that he did not count equality with God a thing to grasp, but he emptied himself and became not just a human being, but he became a servant. He became the sacrifice for us. And he identified completely with us in every respect except one. He didn't sin. But he was so sorely tempted. Can he really sympathize with you? Would he really know what it's like to be hungry? Have you ever been hungry and you didn't know where your next meal was coming from? One time he got so hungry, rocks looked like bread to him. Were you ever lonely? I mean, how could anybody understand what it feels like to be lonely and to be unloved? He came to His own, and His own people who knew Him best received Him not. And the men that He gathered around Him, that He invested His love and respect with, when He's praying in the garden and begging the Father to let this cup pass from me, they're sleeping over there. You ever been lonely? One time he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Have you ever been betrayed? Has someone you thought loved you, they not only didn't love you, they sold you. There's Judas kissing Him. Have you ever had a raw deal given to you? I mean, where it just wasn't fair. You were right and it didn't matter. You should have been treated with respect. Instead, they slapped you and they spit on you. Have you ever been just railroaded, where the people with the power, or at least what they thought was power, they didn't use it like they should have? Have you ever been on the wrong end of a deal like that? The King of the Jews, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only righteous person to stand before those courts that day. They spit on Him, they pulled His beard, they slapped Him, they stripped Him naked and dressed Him up like a mock king. They beat Him and beat Him and beat Him, and it was all illegal and it was all high-handed. And this just wrong. You think He knows how it feels to be railroaded? Do you think He knows how it feels to be in a room where people, what did Pilate say? I have the power of life and death over you. You name it, Jesus faced it. Yet without sin. So when you pray in Jesus' name and you take that horrible thing, that rejection, that loneliness, that, have you ever been tired? I mean, just so tired you had to sit down if you could. Have you ever been thirsty? You name it, he lived it. The difference is sometimes when we're in all of those deals, we don't have a lot to say about it, do we? But at any moment, he could have called and legions of angels would have showed up. But he didn't. He's so identified with us that when he looked at the people that he knew were going to run off and deny him and abandon him, he said, I don't call you students or servants, or I call you friends. We have this one great mediator between us and God who knows us. He not only became flesh, he became born as a baby. You can't be more helpless than that. Born in a barn, put in a trough that animals ate out of, and born into poverty. In all points like us, he experienced. So when we pray, my Jesus knows, he knows. He knows how much I hurt. He knows how much I care. He knew why Mary poured the ointment all over him. And when other people were criticizing her, he said, she's done what she can. This extravagant gift, she's doing what she can. Leave her alone. He knows. We have a great high priest who is able to sympathize with us. Have you ever hurt? You name it. He did it. Except sin. And he knows how hard it is to resist. And he knows how much it hurts us. And so when he sees that nasty woman thrown at his feet on the ground there, he has nothing but compassion for her. And when that woman sneaks into the party and starts kissing his feet, he doesn't pull them away from her because he identifies with them. He knows what poor people smell like, and it doesn't repel him. If you've ever been in a third world country and you see what children look like, and they would mob him, and he let them touch him, and he held them, and he loved them. He identifies with us. Yet without sin. This means when we try to get close to God and we come to God, there is a way that we can get right there. So close. You know, it was really something when God would speak to Abraham and we had a secondhand message from God, or when he came down on the mountain and he gave the law to Moses. Wasn't that something, that we could get that close to God and not die? And then he has them build a tabernacle and he puts it right in the middle of the camp and he says, here's the way you can do it. You follow these rules, you come to me by faith, and you can get really close to me, and your sacrifice will be accepted, and your prayers will be heard. Isn't that something? But now with Jesus, we have a priest that says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to come to God, you come by me. And he doesn't tell us to go to a tent in the wilderness or even to this building. He tells us that he's going to move into our heart and live in us. And at least twice in the book of Corinthians, he tells us that you are the temple of God. One time he's talking about your own personal heart, and the other time he's talking about us as a collective group. But that's how close he gets to us, and we do that through the great high priest Jesus. We actually get to participate. And like he imitated us as he came to this earth and revealed God to us, we get to imitate him. When we become a Christian, we actually copy in a faith response to God, the commandment, but we actually copy his death, burial, and resurrection when we're buried in water and raised from the dead to walk in newness of life. He gives us opportunity every Lord's Day to remember the most important thing we can remember. If that's the only thing you know, it's enough. That Jesus shed his blood and gave his body for us. And that he was buried, and on the third day he was raised. And all of that, he's making these connections to us, and we do it through the great high priest, Jesus. When we pray in his name, and what does he say? It'll be heard. You can count on it. The prayers in the name of Jesus are not turned away. He invites us to come to him through Christ. This is such an amazing thing that he tells us. That we have this great high priest and that we can come to him. One more time, let's look at those words in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5-6. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony to which was born at the proper time. One mediator. If you miss Jesus, you miss God. Jesus told his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen God. If you hear his words, you're hearing the words of God. He would tell us that in earlier times, God spoke in different ways, but Hebrews, the first chapter, says, but in these days, he gives his revelation through his Son. And Jesus said, if you want to come to the Father, it must be by me. The truth of the matter is, if you miss him, you miss it all. That's why whatever he says, we have to do. Whatever he wants, we give. Paul would say, we make it our aim to please him. The love of Christ controls me, he would say. Because this is it. Peter even understood that in the middle of Jesus' ministry when Jesus said, are you going to leave? He said, where would we go? You're the only one that has the words of life. Paul would say, I give everything I have. I sacrifice it all. I count it as refuge for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. It is ridiculous. It is so foolish to argue about anything that he would say, because he came and brings life to us. And he opens a way for us. We're not just talking about having our sins forgiven. That would be enough. But we're talking about life. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about he is the light of men. The life of the world, the light of the world, the life of man. Everything that's important, he brings to us. Everything that we can have, we get from him. If we don't have him, we have nothing. We should never argue with him. We sang a moment ago how we crown you as king. When the first time I heard that song, I didn't like it. I thought, who am I crowning? But you know what it means. It means I'm on my knees acknowledging who you are. Now, I love it. I love the song because that's the response that we must have to him. What's the biggest problem we have in our own life? We're arguing with Jesus. What's the biggest problem we have in this church? We argue with Jesus. We think sometime or someplace, I count. We count to him, but we don't count at all in this big thing. It's all about him. That's why when he did this thing, when he emptied himself, Paul tells us in Philippians, when he emptied himself and took on the form of a servant, went to the cross, died for us, that he says that the name of Jesus is God from the throne elevates his name above every name. Because at the name of Jesus, everyone that's going to live is on their knees, acknowledging who he is. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows. It's what it's all about. We have him as our go-between. We have him as our mediator. We have him as our high priest. We know that the prayer gets through. We know that whatever he promises, he has God's word on it. We know, what did God say? This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. I'm pleased with him. Listen to him. Follow him. I'm glad we have Church of Christ on our sign. That's who we should be. But that doesn't make us Christ Church. What makes us Christ Church is that we humble ourselves before him and we stop arguing with him. Surely we could know as much as the boy Samuel knew. Speak, Lord. Your servant hears. What do you want from me? To put down this nasty sin that's set ruin in my life? I should have done it a long time ago. You bet I'll do that. What should we do? How should we do it? Quit arguing with him. Won't you please? Won't you come to him right now while we stand and sing?